We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the first of five Michigan football classics from the year of 2021, Michigan's Big Ten championship football season. And on September 11, Michigan welcomed the Washington Huskies and 111,000 of its closest friends to the Big House for a maze-out.
We communicated and we felt just a strong bond, and everyone wanted to play for each other.
That's just all 11 men doing their job.
We really focused on just coming together as one unit.
Us executing at that level felt really good.
Everybody, including myself, had a full smile just to be back in that atmosphere.
Ready goes, got it at the 40. His defender falls down. He puts a hand down, keeps his balance. Touchdown, Hassan Haskins. Henning with some speed down the sideline. Touchdown, Michigan. Corner of the end zone, he dives. Blake Corum again. Deep to his receiver. That's Baldwin. Touchdown, Michigan.
Brought back a lot of great memories. Energy was great.
It's a really good win. We're moving on to Washington.
Last season, we won our first game, and then we died off a little bit. That's going to be huge emphasis.
We haven't done anything yet. We got a long season to go. We got to stack on this and get better every week, every day.
Night game this week, and maze out.
Onward we go.
So that was how the broadcast started before Michigan and Washington, week two of the season. Brian Bush, John Jansen with you. John, the lead up to this game was something special because, A, you had the pandemic season. No fans were there. That first game against Western Michigan, there was a pomp, a circumstance, a meaning to being there, but it was a blowout win. It was expected. You played the hits in that situation. This, with the maze out, with the first marquee opponent back in Ann Arbor, with the fact that it was the anniversary of September 11th, there was a palpable buzz all week and certainly in the hours before that game in the stadium and around the community.
And when you think about the 2021 season, the start of it was Western Michigan, but the start of the excitement was really that night against Washington. Yeah. With the maze out, the fans supported this team unconditionally. Coming off a 2-6 season, this was the first opportunity for them to see what this team was going to be, what the expectations were, what the offense was going to be like, what the defense under Mike McDonald was going to be. And you started to see the emergence of some stars, whether it was in the backfield with Blake Corum, quarterback Cade McNamara, Jake Moody as a kicker. I mean, defensively, it was the same thing. And the buildup to this game, from the moment you showed up at the stadium, you could feel the excitement. And it was all the things that you talked about before, the excitement of not being in the stadium in the year of 2020, of it being a 2-6 season. This was a Power 5 matchup. Yes, it was against Washington. They had lost the week before, but it was the first time Michigan would be tested.
Yeah, and you mentioned that loss for Washington against FCS Montana in week one. That made it feel like a true must-win situation from a perception standpoint, because Washington was coming in after a shocking loss, and this was a home game against a team coming from the West Coast. If you wanted to take that tough 2-4 season out, this was it felt perception-wise, locally and nationally, like you had to have it.
Yeah, and you know, there were a lot of question marks regarding, because it was still, for both teams, still only the second game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, was Washington the team that you saw against Montana, or was that just an off night? Was it a bad start to what could be a good season? And the thought coming in was, didn't really know what they were going to be offensively, but Jimmy Lake, their new head coach, defensive-minded guy, the secondary was supposed to be the strength of this team. Defensively, how much were they going to challenge Michigan? And with this offense, Josh Gattis going into, you know, his fourth year of as offensive coordinator, what was this team going to be? What was the identity of this Michigan football team going to be?
So let's take you back to the lead up on the broadcast and the early going of the game back September 11th, 2021 at the Big House, Michigan and Washington.
Washington, 0-1, lost in an upset to Montana. Preseason, ranked number 20 in the nation. The upset last week caught the nation by surprise, Dan. But if you're Michigan, don't look at that score as indicative of the talent that Washington brings to the stadium tonight.
It's an underrated rivalry, Michigan and Washington. They've played at the Rose Bowl, they played in Seattle, they played here in Ann Arbor, and there have been some great names to play in this rivalry. Warren Moon, Steve Empman, Phil Brabs with the kick, Anthony Carter with a touchdown to seal a Rose Bowl, Tyrone Wheatley with some huge runs in a Rose Bowl against Washington, and these two teams have played some classics.
And what a finish to the national anthem, as it can only be played by the University of Michigan Marching Band, to have one of America's jets from the military fly over this packed stadium as we get ready for one of the great American traditions, college football, on this tribute that we wanted to tell you about for this date, 9/11. A bagpipe player came out and played a rendition of Amazing Grace that was truly remarkable. And on the scoreboard as he was playing, Michigan graduates who had lost their lives in the attacks on 9/11 20 years ago were displayed on a scoreboard, and everyone in the stadium got the chance to put a face to what happened 20 years ago. Then the Detroit Youth Choir sang God Bless America, and an American flag 100 yards long and 52 yards wide was unfurled across the floor of Michigan Stadium. It's just a moving pregame. Then, of course, the Michigan Marching Band with the national anthem and the flyover. Dan, to remember those people, and we need to remember them, who lost their lives at the hands of terrorists, for the first responders who gave their lives to save others, and for those who survived and worked tirelessly to help others who were impacted by the attacks, the hospital workers, the police, the Good Samaritans, civilians, we must never forget in New York, Washington, and Pennsylvania. And I think this is one of those things that supersedes a football game and gives us a moment to think about how lucky we are to be a part of this great piece of theater here in the United States of America.
It's a beautiful game under the lights. The colors are just more vibrant. It's reflection off the helmets. It's quite a scene.
And the Maize pom-poms are moving good. Moody bombs one, and he gets it out over the end line, over the head of Giles Jackson for Washington. I formation for Morris, the quarterback in Washington. He's up under center, and there's a flag thrown. Delay of game Washington on the opening snap. So it'll go from first and 10 to first and 15. And I think the 12th man has just made themselves a part of this football game.
Well, I can't imagine what's more frustrating than to get called for a penalty before even 1 second is off the game clock. The clock still reads 15 minutes, and already they're in the hole.
High formation. Dylan Morris is the quarterback. Newton is the deep back. They give it to Newton. Newton gets to the left guard, and whoa, he is bowled under. He is absolutely smothered by Josh Ross, but he didn't get back to the line of scrimmage. Man coverage incomplete. Out there in coverage was Jamon Green, and that was just a miscommunication between Morris and his receiver, Otten, the big tight end. He just threw it way short, and it'll be a fourth down for Washington, the incomplete pass.
This is a new Michigan defense that is varied. It is multiple, and the University of Washington right now isn't sure what they're going to see.
Their stable of running backs, Kamari Pleasant's in the ballgame. Back to throw, Morris. Morris getting pressure. He's getting hit. It's sack time. Hutchinson and Upshaw converge on Morris for the sack. That'll bring up a fourth down, and Washington will be forced to kick it away. Third down and six from the Washington 34. They've got to get to the 28 for a first down. McNamara is alone in the backfield. He brings Corum in motion. Back to throw. Here comes pressure. Throws. Oh, misses it. Thrown behind him as McNamara waited to the last second because he was getting run down by an unblocked pressure guy. Got the ball to Eric All, but behind him and All couldn't hold on.
Well, this Washington team loves the corner blitz. And that time it came right off the edge. Number 44, Radley Hiles. And he got a big hit on Cade McNamara, and we're going to get a 52-yarder?
Jake Moody has been sent out, and he will attempt a 52-yarder for Michigan. The holder is Brad Robbins. Good snap. Kick is up. Plenty of distance. And Jake Moody just drilled a 52-yard field goal.
Yes, sir.
From the Wolverines, and Michigan takes a 3-0 lead.
So that field goal there was Moody's longest of the season, and, you know, it's easy to forget that we knew Jake Moody had potential going into 2021, but that started the Money Moody type of a run, right? He was 23 of 25 on field goals for the season, 56 of 56 on PATs. That was a nerve-wracking moment early on in the season, but by the end of the year, people just assumed he would make those.
Yeah, and let's go back to recent Michigan football history where there were some extra points that have been very costly that were missed, field goals that were very costly that were missed. And to have a kicker be able to come in, handle the pressure, and, you know, I've obviously never been a kicker, but to have that environment where it's all maze all around you, you're looking up, you're looking at gold field post. I can only imagine there were some challenges involved in that. And I'm just trying to give as much credit to Money Moody as I possibly can because he all season long stepped up, and it did absolutely start with that moment.
Speaking of the atmosphere, you heard back the delay of game, the false starts that we had in this game. Just the fact that legitimately Washington's offense was engulfed by the atmosphere, especially early. They fed off that maze out crowd all night, and you can hear it through some of the calls, through just the silence of Jim and Dan. It was incredible.
Yeah, the environment was everything that you had hoped it could possibly be. And a lot of people, And I felt this as well. Sometimes before some of the additions to the stadium, the sound would escape and it never really was. You could feel the excitement, but it wasn't always a very loud venue. That was different on September 11. That was different with the maze out. And I don't know if it was just the pent-up emotion of not being at any games in 2020, or if it was the pent-up emotion for, you know, what Michigan, the lack of performance in 2020, but the Michigan fans showed out in force. They were loud. They were into it from the first moment to the last. And the defense fed off of it. You know who else fed off of it? It was that Michigan offensive line.
We will get there. It did take a little while for that Wolverines offense to get humming. After the field goal, Michigan's defense did come up with a third consecutive three and out. Wolverines then drove down to the one-yard line before a very rare instance of Hassan Haskins getting stuffed. So a goal line stand for Washington. They were able to get some yardage for the first time all game, pushing it out to their own 36 before facing a third and short early second quarter with Michigan up 3-0.
Up under center is Morris. They give it to Davis. Davis tries the right side. He didn't make it. Third down and one, and Michigan stopped it. Hinton and Jenkins come out of the pile, and this is going to be short of the first down, and it's going to be fourth and one Washington from their own 36.
Well, is Jimmy Lake a gambler? Is he willing to go for it on fourth down in, on his side of the field? The answer appears to be yes.
Yep, he's got Morris, the quarterback, in there. Cade Kolasar is out there deep, but he's now comes off the field. Davis is the running back. Up under center is Morris. They try the quarterback sneak. Now we've got a flag thrown. This might be false start. On the quarterback sneak, Morris, the quarterback, makes the first down. But the question becomes, what's the penalty?
Prior to the penalty, charge out, charge timeout, Michigan. They're first. It'll be a 30-second timeout.
Boy, when they threw the flag, we saw the Michigan players signal illegal procedure or false start. But Michigan got the timeout. It'll bring up the fourth and one a second time with 12:22 left to play in the first half. 3-0 Michigan on top. Big fourth down play from Washington's own 36-yard line. And you want to talk gamble, Dan? This is a gamble.
This is a a big gamble, but geez, if Michigan doesn't call the timeout, it's a punt situation for sure.
And now they're going to punt.
Yeah.
Washington changes their mind. So Race Porter comes in. How about that? How about that, Dan, as a turn of events? Michigan calls timeout. It looked like Morris got the first down. The timeout, now they'll kick it back to Michigan. Cade Kolasar deep to take Porter's kick. The kick is away. Low. Kolasar's got the fair catch at the 21-yard line of Michigan. That's where they will take over, first and 10. Real quickly, down to the sideline, Duck Carr.
I think they decided to punt because their plan was to go with the quick huddle, and they knew after the timeout Michigan would be ready. And when they go with that quick huddle break and get to the line of scrimmage, they snap it before Michigan set. Well, after a timeout, kind of took that out of play.
Three receivers split right. Here's the give to Corum. Corum busted out over the 30, but he's going to be short of the first down. He needed to get to the 31. And Ulofosio, who is just a tackling machine for Washington, he's a preseason first team All-American.
I think we're going to punt now.
He stopped Corum a yard short, and that will bring out Brad Robbins for the Wolverines to kick it away. And McDuffie will go deep to return it for the Huskies. 3-0, 10:32 left to play first half. Michigan on top of Washington. They're going to fake it, and they get the first down. Michigan gets the first down as Michael Barrett takes the short snap and pounds it out to the 32-yard line, and the Wolverines convert and move the chains.
Well, great job by Michigan here. And again, what they did up the middle was so confusing that it really took Michigan by surprise. I mean, Washington by surprise. That was a beautifully executed fake punt.
And Barrett, former quarterback, linebacker, did this earlier in his career.
He did it last year.
Fake punt and got a first down. Here's Corum up the middle, breaks it. He's at midfield. He's in the open. Down the sideline, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Michigan. 67 yards, a lightning strike from number two, and the Wolverines are up 9-0.
Outstanding play. Luke Schoonmaker, the tight end, comes all the way across the formation, up through the hole to make a key block. And that time, Blake Corum was untouched.
So we know the context and how this game ends up playing out. Michigan wins it 31-10. But some of those close calls where Washington was going to go for it, then elected not to, they punted away. Michigan then converts on the 4th-and-1, and then moments later, the Blake Corum 67-yard touchdown run. If those plays are different, this game is probably completely different.
Well, it is because, you know, as we mentioned in the last segment, you know, Michigan had gotten down to the goal line and didn't get in. And there is always this doubt that starts to creep into your mind. And that doubt can be handled a couple of different ways. And the way that this Michigan football team handled it was with anger, was with violence, was with, I cannot believe that against you, we didn't get this done. It's not going to happen again. And whether it's the defense stepping up and making plays, creating opportunities for the offense finally coming through with some big plays and getting the running game going, the game would have been very different. But I think we see the lessons that Michigan learned throughout the course of the season paid off at the end, and this is one of those great lessons that they learned early on, and thankfully they learned them in a victory.
So that 67-yard lightning strike from Corum, that ended up being the final scoring play of the first half. 10-0 Michigan at the break. Defensively, felt like the Wolverines had a stranglehold on this thing. Offensively, again, outside of that one play, it was a slog at times. There were some missed opportunities at times. But it did feel like, if you go back to that halftime, which, by the way, remember that halftime show? That was awesome. It felt at halftime that Michigan had that thing in control, thanks in large part just the defense. You didn't think that Washington would be able to score.
No, the defense was suffocating. The defense was flying around, and that was one of the things, the question marks going into the season with a new defensive coordinator was, what was this defense going to look like? And Mike McDonald talked about it was a defense that would be able to change on the run, the defense that would still be based on speed and aggression. You know, we heard from Don Brown, hey, you know, you solve your problems with violence. That wasn't taken away, but what was added was the anticipation of what Washington was going to do. And it felt like Michigan knew every step of the way what was coming before it even happened.
So John teased the dominance of the offensive line. At the start of the second half, Michigan got the football, and this happened with two offensive linemen calling the game and the offensive line just dominating.
Offensively, we've got to make something happen here. We're going to get the ball to start the second half. What a great opportunity to give our defense a little breathing room and see if we can add to our lead. But this is no time to get ultra-conservative and just try to sit on a 10-0 lead.
First and 10, Michigan from their own 27. First possession of the second half, Wolverines with a 10-0 lead. Haskins gets the ball, breaks over the left side, pushes his way out over the 30 to the 31. Sam Taimani makes the stop. Gain of 4. It'll be 2nd and 6. They give it to Haskins. Tries the middle of the line of scrimmage. Pounds his way out over the 30 to the 30, the 34 to the 35. Gain of 4 again. It'll be 3rd down and 2. Gives to Haskins. Haskins breaks it outside, and he's got room. 40, 50, into Washington territory and down to the 45-yard line. Alex Cook makes the stop, but not before Hassan Haskins goes off for 20 yards quickly. Doug Karsh, coach's comments.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh, speaking to his team, did say at halftime, we can run and pass, and he wants to set the tone on this first drive.
Haskins right up the middle. There's a little crease there, and Haskins just,
powers
his way down to the 34-yard line. That's good for 11 and a first down before Sermon brings him down.
Well, there was a lot of yak there. YAC, yards after contact.
Haskins now goes out. Corum comes in. McNamara remains the quarterback. He's got two receivers split wide right. Corum is to his right. McNamara in the gun. Gives to Corum. Corum breaks it to the left. He's at the 30. Breaks a tackle. Gets to the 20. He's inside the 20. Down to the 18, 17-yard line. Cook makes the stop. But again, Corum makes that little cut and bounces out to the sideline, and he is tough to bring down. 11:59 to play, third quarter, 10-0 Michigan. They're inside the Washington 20. Give to Corum. Breaks right side. He fights his way close to the 10-yard line before he stops. It's Sermon on the stop for Washington.
Jim, you tell me if I'm wrong, but the first big sign of optimism on my part was when I heard that Jim Harbaugh had hired Mike Hart to come back to Ann Arbor to be the running backs coach. Because let me tell you something, if you don't see Mike Hart's influence on this running game right now, and if Blake Corum doesn't remind you of Mike Hart, you're not looking hard enough.
They give it to Corum right up the middle, and Corum inside the 10, down to the 7, fighting his way before Latui Nesanoa makes the stop. Gain of 4, and they will move the down box. It'll be first down and goal from the 7. Now Corum is in the pistol behind McNamara. Michigan, first and goal from the Washington 7. They lead it 10-0, looking to add to that lead. Give to Corum. Breaks at the 5. Breaks at the 3.
Oh,
cuts it up inside. Dives in. Blake Corum. Touchdown, Michigan. 7 yards, and the Wolverines go up 16-0 over the Huskies.
And here comes some expert analysis. Sweet! What an opening drive to the start of the second half by Michigan. Exactly what we were talking about.
All of it on the ground. All of it between the tackles.
That, folks, is a what's known in the business as a statement drive.
8 plays, 73 yards, all on the ground. And, John, the gains were 4, 4, 20, 11, 17, 6, 4, 7. Four or more on every single play. It was a clinic.
It was a clinic. It was classic. It was exactly what you needed to see from not just the offense as a whole, but the offensive line. You get down to the goal line and you can't punch it in. And then you, at some point, you've got to say, okay, this is not going to be us. And when you come out and you put together a drive that is 100% on the ground and you punch it in the end zone and you do it the way that Michigan did it. Again, I talk about the lessons learned. It's not just the lessons learned by the players and the coaches. It's the lessons learned by the fans as well, because now that standard, that expectation, that identity was something that Michigan carried throughout the entire season.
Yeah, I mean, this was an identity-establishing drive because Michigan had so many of those types. Now, there weren't many that were all runs like this one. There were some, right? But this felt like Michigan was planting a flag saying our identity when things are clicking looks a lot like this.
Well, and the identity was, hey, when things aren't going our way, whether it's, you know, hey, we can't complete a pass or we're struggling to protect the quarterback, we can always fall back on running the football. And we can line up with an extra offensive lineman, with a couple of tight ends, with different formations, different personnel groups. You can know that a run is coming, but the sad thing for you is that you can't stop it. Mm-hmm. And that was something that Michigan carried throughout the entire season. And that standard and that identity was set in that first drive of the second half.
So Michigan went up 17-0 there. The Huskies did counter with a significant drive that reached first and goal at the 10 as we take you back to September 11th, 2021.
Washington now knocking on the door. They just went down 17-0. They're looking to answer. I formation. Morris gives the ball. Jackson, he gets the ball inside the 10 to the 8. Davis, rather. It's Hill Green on the stop. It'll be second down and goal from the 8. Up under center is Morris. Two receivers split wide right. Four-man front for Michigan. They fake the run. Back to throw. Morris looking. Pressure coming. And Aiden Hutchinson has him. Sack time for Aiden Hutchinson again. Back to the 10-yard line. Loss of 2. Newton is back in the ballgame now for Washington at that running back spot. Third and goal from the 10. Washington trails 17-0. Morris in the gun. Calls for the ball. Gets the ball. Back to throw. Looks. throws fade, right side of the end zone, incomplete. Dax Hill covering, intended for Terrell Bynum. That'll bring up fourth down and goal from the 10, and that will force a field goal attempt. They'll spot the ball at the 18, 28-yard attempt. The snap's good. The kick's up. The kick is through, and Peyton Henry gets a 28-yarder for Washington, and the Huskies are on the board.
I am not advocating abandoning the running game. I'm just saying you can't play the rest of this game only running the football.
Back to throw. Looks, throws. He's got Blake Corum, and he's got the first down. Out over the 35 to the 38-yard line. And he had Blake Corum lined up as a slot receiver right from his running back spot. Gain of 9. The Wolverines move the chains. Alex Cook on the stop. Yep, this is the heavy package. This is the short yardage package. They go pistol.
We've already had a fourth and one that failed. It's a 1 yard line.
Haskins gets the call, and Haskins gets it to the 48 and just outside the 48. That's going to be a first down. Corms the running back on his big third down and 13 play. The ball is spotted at the Michigan 45. Three receivers split left. McNamara in the gun. Gets the ball. Looks, throws. He's got a crossing route to Corum underneath. Corum tries to jump over a man. He will get into Washington territory.
Oh, 49. They're going to get Washington for taunting.
There's a flag.
They're going to get Washington for taunting.
And that was after Corum went down, and it was Dominique Hampton. And I think he did. He got in a Corum's face, and this is going to be a gift first down and keep this drive alive. Because Corum was 8 yards short of the first down.
The play's over. Unsportsmanlike conduct. Defense number 21, taunting. 15-yard penalty from the end of the play. Automatic first down.
Well, and this one's over. You're going to look at that play right there, Dan?
Well, it's...
That is a huge mistake by the Huskies.
Oh, just a huge mistake. And it's, you know, Corum is lying on the ground, and he gets right down in his face. Hampton gets right down in his face and starts barking at him, and the officials, they're not going to take it.
McNamara in the gun, pistol. The give is to Corum. Corum makes a man miss at the 10. He's inside the 10, down to the 9, down to the 6-yard line. Sermon finally brings him down. But Latui Nesanoa comes off the field. I think Blake Corum gave him the little move and got by him down to the 6, where it's first and goal, Michigan. Two receivers split wide right. Tight end and wing left. They give to Haskins. Breaks it around left end. Haskins will walk in side the pylon in the north end zone. Touchdown, Michigan.
Well, again, the agility and the elusiveness of the big guy, Hassan Haskins, on full display as the Washington defense had a guy in position to make the tackle. And he just slides off, gets nothing but a little bit of an ankle, and Hassan Haskins shows once more that he is the complete and total package as a running back.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We talked about that 73-yard drive all on the ground. Then Michigan takes up 7 minutes, 14 plays, getting the game into the early stages of the fourth quarter, up 24-3. you talk about those kind of drives. And again, that one was not all run like the first one in the second half. But, I mean, Michigan, they were so good at just slowly, methodically taking your heart and your soul as an opponent.
Well, and, you know, what are the principles of football that I have always talked about that we've heard on the broadcast that you hear around football? No matter the era of football, it is you've got to be able to control the line of scrimmage. Michigan did that on both sides of the ball. You've got to be able to control the tempo of the game. And in going 7 minutes and being judicious with the ball in terms of we're going to run here, we're going to throw here, you keep that defense off balance. But the number one thing was protecting the football. You can't score if you don't have the ball. You can't extend drives if you don't convert on third down or if you don't possess the football. That was something that Michigan was able to show in the second half with the 73-yard drive, with a 7-minute drive that, hey, we can throw the ball if we want to, but we're choosing to run the ball a majority of the time. And again, the identity is, I don't care if you know what we're doing. I don't care if you know it's going to be play action. It doesn't matter if you know where this ball is going. There is nothing that you can do to stop it.
And you know, you think back to week two, there are plenty of things that we know now that we did not know or expect or understand about this team in this season back in the third and fourth quarter of game two. But I think we all knew what Hassan Haskins would mean, could mean, and would have to mean to this program in order to have the success that they did. And this was the first high-profile example. We'll talk about him and Corum because they both were brilliant in this game. But Haskins, we knew that this was possible, and this was just the first of many spotlight performances.
Well, and if you go back to, 2019 in the game against Notre Dame, and you watched his performance at that time, the characteristics of I'm not going to allow one person to tackle me. I'm going to carry you as far as I can. You're going to need help. That was something that Hassan Haskins showed yet again in this game. And the fact that he was willing to be the guy that says, what I have to say doesn't really matter. He wasn't a vocal guy. I want you to watch how I play. I want you to, when we talk about guys that play behind their shoulder pads, that is a guy that runs behind his shoulder pads. And he is, if you're going to tackle him, you are going to pay the price. He is a guy that set the example, set the standard by this is how I'm going to do it.
So Washington would make it interesting down the stretch. They found the end zone on their next drive, Dylan Morris to Terrell Bynum for a touchdown. Then they did force a 3-and-out for Michigan's offense, 24-10 Wolverines. Huskies driving again as we bring you a few snippets from the final stretch run of the game.
Back in Ann Arbor on a maze out night. We are into the fourth quarter, just 10:15 remaining in this one. I'm Jim Brandstetter along with Dan Dierdorf, Doug Carson, John Jansen. Good to have you with us as it's a maze out and the pom-poms are going strong here in Ann Arbor. 108,000 people are here, 295th straight, 100,000 crowd here in Ann Arbor. Morris in the gun. Goes back to throw. Pressure coming. Ross gets the pressure, but it's Morris who gets out of there, and he's tripped up, but he gets to the 45, and that's a first down. Upshaw trips him up, but gain of 7. Morris for the Huskies in the gun. Gets the snap. Back to throw. Look. Throw. Slant cut. Ball is tipped. Incomplete. Intended for Jackson. DJ Turner on the coverage.
Well, this brings up 4th and 10 now.
Morris is in the gun. He goes back to throw. Pressure coming. Ross gets in there. Throws ball is incomplete in the middle, intended for the tight end. 3 different Wolverines were right there, including Ojabo and Hawkins and Hill, intended for Otten, and the ball will go over on downs to Michigan.
And I'm telling you what, that again, Morris had pressure. Right up the middle, it's going to come again, and he can't step into that throw. That was just good defense, pressure-wise, coverage-wise. Great job by the Michigan D.
They just turned the Huskies over on downs on a 4th down play. Haskins is the running back in a loaded pistol with McNamara, the quarterback, in the gun. He gives it to Haskins up the middle. Hassan breaks it out to the left. He's down into Husky territory and bulls his way to the 40-yard line.
Wow. Great blocking at the point of attack by the Michigan offensive line.
Haskins gets again. He got some room up the middle. He pounds his way down inside the 30. All the way to the 26-yard line before he's finally wrestled down by Jackson Sermon. Gain of 12. They give Decorum up the middle. Corum will get down to the 15-yard line. And then the pile just keeps moving forward. Finally down to the 11 before he gets knocked down. Gain of 6. Here's the give to Corum. He breaks it out to the left and gets all the way down to the 5-yard line, into the 4, actually. And it'll be a first down. Gain of 7-8 on the play. Asa Turner makes the stop.
This Washington defense, Jim, they have to be completely shell-shocked and stunned that Michigan has been so one-dimensional and so successful.
And the fact that they blocked a guy like Eulifoscio, who has not been mentioned a lot tonight, Jim Harbaugh called him a tackling machine. And they blocked him, and they blocked Sermon pretty well. This has been a great ground performance by Michigan. Sir, give the ball to Corum. Right up the hash. Blake Corum scores again. Touchdown, Michigan. Third down and 10. Morris back to throw. Pressure coming. It's sack time. David Ojabo takes Morris down all the way back at the 37-yard line, 38-yard line. Loss of 8 on the play. And it'll be fourth down and 18. Morris back to throw, rolling to his right. Fourth down, still rolling. Chased by Hutchinson. No, chased by McGregor, and McGregor brings him down. But it was Morris who got the ball off, but it was incomplete. So Michigan will take over on downs, and that will do it. As if we had any doubts, Michigan will take over. 51 seconds left to go. All they've got to do is run out the clock. McNamara under center, goes to a knee. 7 seconds left. That's it. Michigan gets a huge win on national television in prime time. Impressive. Wolverines 31, Washington 10.
Michigan now opens the season 2-0. And I have now officially put 2020 in my rearview mirror.
And
I think this team has put 2020 in their rearview mirror.
And 2020 in a rearview mirror is about the best place for 2020 to be.
You talk a little bit about the fans and the stands, the student section, the noise tonight, how much it impacted this game?
Yeah, this game was, the atmosphere was incredible. And they had an impact in this game. I mean, starting off with the delay of game, that was awesome. And love our fans.
I love how Dan summarized that at the end, that performance, that atmosphere, that game as a whole helped, I think, a lot of people completely turn the page on what happened in 2020 for Michigan football. And knowing what we know now, I mean, this is a classic because of A, the atmosphere, and B, just the way that Michigan dominated a Power 5 foe.
Well, and this also is, it's one of those moments that you look back on and everything seems so obvious. Everything seems clear because our matter of perspective of looking back and knowing what the season is. But when you think about where Michigan was in terms of a program, in terms of senior leadership and captains, and I know I had talked a lot about that leading up to last year, it was, we need guys to step up at very pivotal moments, whether it was Blake Corum with a big-time run, or it was Hassan Haskins with a consistent pounding, or it was Aiden Hutchinson with some key moments and sacks, 2.5 sacks. This defense came away with 4 sacks, 7 tackles for loss, 5 quarterback hurries, and you look back now, and those numbers actually seem kind of pedestrian for what we came to expect, but it was the moments at which they happened. It was the moments that you expect your best players to step up and make plays, whether it's a reception, it's a run, it's a sack, it's a tackle for loss, it's a big stop on third down. Those are the moments that you have to have your leaders make plays, and that's what we saw in that game.
The vast majority of Michigan's 343 rushing yards came from Blake Corum and Hassan Haskins. I mean, the tail of the tape, the comparison for what these two young men did in that game. Corum, 21 for a buck 71 and three scores. Haskins, 27 for 155 and a touchdown. I mean, it was just, if it wasn't Haskins, it was Corum. I mean, that's got to be so deflating for a defense, and they just went over and over at him.
Well, it was, and not only Blake Corum on the ground, Blake Corum through the air. He had three receptions, not, you know, for an unbelievable number of yards, but it was the threat that both of those guys posed and the different styles at which they ran by. Blake Corum could rip off a 70-yard run at any moment, and it put the defenses on notice. Hassan Haskins, hey, the defense is on notice that one guy isn't going to tackle this guy. You're going to have to come with gang tackling, which means you've got to commit from the secondary. And they were setting the tone. They were writing the script for what was to happen later in the year with some bigger moments through the air. But hey, against Western Michigan, it was making sure that you could continue things on the ground. Against Washington, it was much the same of, hey, we're not going to stop what is successful. It's not our job to stop us. And I think I actually had asked Josh Gattis that question of, you know, people wonder, can you throw the ball? And he said, it's not our job to stop ourselves. If something's working, we're going to keep doing it. And you look back now and, yeah, those first two, three games, especially this game against Washington, was we want you to know that we can run the ball in any situation. And later on in the year, we can open things up. It's going to all be predicated on us running the football, but we can go downfield. We can do all those different things, but we need to make sure that we understand who we are. Doesn't matter who lines up against us, whether it's Western Michigan, whether it's Washington to that point, we are going to be who we are. We're going to know our identity. We're going to know what works for us so that when things do get hard, we now have something to fall back on.
The long-term takeaway from this is, man, we got to have more maze outs. I mean, that was just – it was awesome. It obviously stands out. It jumps out at you. I know you hate night games compared to noon, but if we're going to do a night game, let's do that.
Yes, if we're going to do a night game, do it right. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what that was. And, again, I've said this many times, hats off to the guys on the field, the coaches on the sidelines. But also hats off to the fans last year. That Big Ten championship was a shared championship, and it was shared by the players, by the coaches, by the fans, because every time we stepped foot in that stadium, it seemed like a special moment, and the fans made that possible.
And I'm glad, remember, this was supposed to be a home-and-home back-to-back years. We were supposed to travel out to Seattle in 2020, return trip 2028. Michigan and Washington, a very unique rivalry, despite being very, very far from each other. And I'm glad we're going to get that game out in Seattle.
Well, it's a classic because you go back to the matchups in the Rose Bowl, yep. The Pac-12, the Big Ten, and now you take it to the regular season. And it is two programs that should face each other, you know, maybe not every year, but definitely on a regular basis. And I am looking forward to going out to Washington and accomplishing the exact same thing, and that's a dominant performance.
Another thing I know you're looking forward to, Lincoln, Nebraska will be the site for our next Michigan Football Classic from 2021 here in the coming weeks. That was a game that we talked about, this Washington one, it could have gotten close and dicey at times. That one looked like it could be a Michigan runaway. It got close, and that was the first real, hey, this team's got some resolve. They've got some ability to face adversity, and that'll be next up. I know you're pumped to relive that one.
I am. It's the first time Michigan trailed all season long. So it was, as you mentioned, lessons learned throughout the course of the season. That was one of them, and it proved to be a vital lesson learned. We'll look forward to bringing the next edition of Michigan Classics from the year of 2021, Big Ten Championship football season.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGo Blue Podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.